morning, everyone. It's so lovely to be back worshiping with you guys, with my Prescott family. Will asked me to share a little bit about what's going on in Oaxaca, because God is doing some amazing roller coaster things, and I just can't keep it to myself. So, as some of you know, Oaxaca is a place that is full of poverty and pain and suffering. But in exciting news, Oaxaca got named the number one city to visit in 2019 by Culture Trip, which is very exciting because we've gotten a lot of new tourists, which is hilarious for me to watch. My youth kids love to go downtown and watch the tourists, and it's hilarious, really it is. But it is a place that has a lot of need. And when I first went down to Oaxaca, I was going to work with missionary kids, or third culture kids, as we call them, or TCKs. And I was just going to go down for 1 year to teach 9th and 10th grade English. That didn't work out so well, because I'm on year 3. And this year I taught 7th and 8th grade, 9th and 10th grade, 11th and 12th grade English, AP English Literature, and AP Psychology at the Missionary Kids School. So that was insane a little bit, but really, really fun. One of the main reasons I decided to stick around in Oaxaca is because these missionary kids did not have consistent teachers. And it was starting to affect their scores and their college availability. And their parents are in Oaxaca doing Bible translation. I don't know if you guys know this, but Wycliffe Bible Translators has made a goal to have a Bible started in every single language by 2020. And Oaxaca is one of the places that has, I believe we have 30 languages right now being translated. And so these missionary kids, their parents are doing really important stuff, but it's starting to affect their futures if they don't have consistent teachers. So I decided to stick around. When I first arrived to Oaxaca, they were testing at below average and really struggling in English, especially because they're surrounded by non-English speakers. They put in so much hard work, and due to some consistency and a lot of research and some help from you guys with curriculum ideas, the students this year are testing every single one of them above average in English, writing, and reading, and it is so exciting. Yes. That's the 2019 ginormous graduating class from OCS, and they're all headed to college and working really hard for that. We also work with youth and ministry at OCS, or Oaxaca Christian School, with the MKs, and we do youth ministry. There are two of us leading youth ministry for about 30 kids, and it's a lot of work. And so this year, we've been praying a lot. How can we be more available for the youth? How can we provide more resources for the youth? Because youth group leading for both the other leader and I, it's our third or fourth job. And it's really hard to be available for them all of the time. We just don't have the time, unfortunately. We want to be there every day for them. So I started talking to this church in Wisconsin, and we are currently developing a gap year program for college students to go down to Oaxaca for a semester, get Bible credit, Spanish credit, and pair up with MKs to do mentorship with them. And within the next 6 months, hopefully, we're going to start allowing enrollment and admissions to that program. So that is going to be happening, and we're going to be able to provide care for these MKs that they desperately need and deserve because they're great kids. So that's school stuff. We do MK camp every year. I don't want to bore you guys because we just did that last year, but MK camp is so much fun. I mean, anyone who's ever been to camp in general, youth camp, so much fun. And we have 200 missionary kids come to our camp every year where they get to meet other missionary kids, bond with them, grow, and get poured into by people that love them very much. So it's very exciting. And lastly, for MKs, we do a re-entry program. And this is going to maybe sound silly to some of you, but a lot of these MKs have never lived in the United States. They've always lived in foreign countries. And then when they're 17 or 18, they graduate high school and they're sent to the United States for college, and they've never lived here before. And it's a really hard transition, and it's a really awkward transition. So my fellow youth group leader and I have created a program that teaches them a little bit about culture shock and prepares them, and they do a lot of team bonding, and we go to the mountains and get stranded for a while and allow them to talk about their fears. And it's a really, really cool program, and we're hoping to develop it more, but it's like college prep, kind of, but our own version for MKs. So that's the last thing we did with the youth group. And you guys, our youth group is growing. the kids are flourishing. They have asked us to go on a missionary trip themselves, separately from what their parents do. We're gonna go to Costa Rica next summer with the youth kids. But some of the kids couldn't wait. I have two kids in Israel and one kid in the Philippines this summer, working and doing missionary trips because they're passionate about ministry and they see they're surrounded by people that are passionate about missions and ministry, and they're getting their own opportunities to go and do those mission trips themselves. So that's where I have three students right now whose parents are posting on Facebook, please pray for my kid. They have a cold and they're in Israel. So that's really, really exciting for them. Outside of Oaxaca Christian School, I work at my church. And we started a small group that I've been leading, and it's been really fun because we get to learn together. But the big thing that's been happening with my church ministry is that when we had the big earthquake in 2 years ago now, we started getting training in trauma counseling because it was necessary, and we created a program specifically for earthquake victims. And here we are, a couple years later. I am one of five people in Central and South America trained at the expert level of trauma counseling with the American Bible Association. And it's really awesome, but it's also really hard because there are only five of us in all of Central and South America. So I end up traveling a bunch, giving conferences and training other people to give counseling and trauma healing. And I will have the opportunity in October to head to Colombia. I actually get to go with my mom, I'm really excited. And we are gonna be teaching over 100 pastors trauma counseling. It's gonna be two back-to-back conferences with them, and we're gonna be training them to help the people that are coming in to Colombia. Right now they have a lot of refugees coming over from Venezuela, and there are a lot of people suffering from domestic abuse in Colombia right now. They've asked us to specifically address that area of trauma counseling, and so that's what we're gonna go do. It's really exciting, really terrifying. I was telling Will, public speaking, not my favorite thing to do. Public speaking in Spanish, less favorite thing to do. Public speaking in front of 100 pastors in Spanish, and they speak a different Spanish than me, really least favorite thing to do. But God has provided, and it's very clear that this is where I'm supposed to go. And well, as a youth leader, the best thing I can do is do the scary things God asked me to do and obey and be an example. So here we go to Colombia to do that. So that's what's going on with church. But the part that I would really like to focus on today is talking about our women's project, because that's what's seen the biggest changes this year. And I want to give you a little history so you understand what's going on. 3 years ago when I went to Oaxaca, I got asked to do some training for drug addiction counseling, because that's what I had studied before, for this lady who wanted to reach out to prostitutes and trafficked women in Oaxaca. And I said, no, thank you, I'm busy. I'm teaching 9th and 10th grade. That's a lot. And then 3 months later, she had to leave the ministry, and I ended up kind of taking over. And in January, the team, there are four of us, we got together and we were praying, God, what do you want us to do next? What are we supposed to do? And we all kind of agreed, you know what? Within the next 5 years, maybe we'll rent a place or we'll, you know, do something a little bit more permanent. But for right now, going once a week is just working out really well. So we're going to continue to do that. That was the second week in January. The third or fourth week of January, we got a phone call letting us know that one of the girls downtown had been murdered. And we were devastated. We were like, "Who? What happened? Who?" So two of us from the team went downtown right away, and we started asking questions. What happened? And all we could get was, it was her first day working. No one knows her name. No one knows where she's from. And she died. And we were so devastated that someone could pass away and no one cared, no one mourned, no one knew about it. And we were sitting in that little restaurant where we do ministry, just praying. What are we supposed to do? How could we have done things differently? What needs to change? And we stood up and we walked outside and there was this big for rent sign. And we thought, well, we can just call it for, you know, in 5 years from now when we want to start something permanent, we can have an idea. So we call the number, and the guy says, I can meet you there tomorrow, and we said, okay. So the next day, we head downtown, and we meet with this guy, and I brought my dad with me, because I was like, I don't know who this guy is. And my dad starts talking to him, and I'm walking around with a friend who's an architect, and he's telling me, oh, this would need to move, and this wall would need to go, and et cetera. And I come back to where my dad's standing, and he goes, you will never guess what. This man is a Christian, and he has turned down 3 different rent offers that are triple what you're offering because he doesn't want his place of business to be used as a bar or as a brothel. And I was like, that's amazing, because we can't afford triple what we're offering. And the guy looks at me and he says, I just heard what you guys are doing, and I'm really excited about it. I'm actually going to lower the rent for you, and I'm not going to charge you for the first month so you can do renovations. And I was like, whoa, slow down. We don't even have funding for this. Like, this is just like an idea for 5 years from now. So I went home. This was on a Friday. I sent out an email to a lot of you guys and supporters, and my teammates did as well, and my roommate did as well, and I went to bed that night. Saturday morning, I woke up to so many responses that we were funded for 6 months by Saturday morning. I literally laid down on the floor at my house and was like, God, what are you doing? I'm not ready. By Saturday night, I had met with a lawyer and an accountant, and we had started the paperwork to start an official charity in Oaxaca, and that's what we have done. An architect from our church did all the remodels. He worked nights with his team. They all volunteered to work nights, which is crazy. They were there till 3 in the morning every day. In 2.5 weeks, they had redone the roof, the walls, the floor, removed a bathroom, and we were ready to go in and pray and paint. This is what it looks like now. It is a safe, quiet place on a street that is full of chaos and noise and a lot of hurt. And we thought, well, okay, this was really fast. 3 weeks later, we have started an official charity, and this is crazy. And I thought, well, I mean, we need to not get our hopes up. Probably the first couple weeks, no one will come because they'll be scared. Day one of opening, we had 16 girls come inside. We didn't have enough chairs for them to sit down. We were sitting on the floor talking to them. In that time, we have been able to do medical clinics. We have doctors come down and do medical checkups. My dad is a dentist, and he volunteered to come down one day and do dental work. We held a baby shower. That girl in the middle, her name is Esme. She's 20. She started working when she was 13. She had a child when she was 14. And she just had another baby in April. I'm sorry, beginning of May. Esme saw us come through for her multiple times. We were there when she said, I'm going to the hospital. We were there when we did the baby shower. We were there for her. And because of that, 2 of us were asked to be witnesses to sign the paperwork for the baby's birth certificate, meaning that we're basically godparents to her child. Unfortunately, 2 weeks later, Esme was working again. She's malnourished. She's very ill. But our team is still there for her. We're bringing her food. We're bringing her vitamins. And she's seeing a follow-through. The girl sitting in the chair right there, her name is Maria Angelina. We've been able to hire her to teach Zumba classes, which is really exciting. We can provide a different form of income for her. She teaches Zumba classes once a week for us at the place, and she's really good. I am exhausted every time. And 2 days before I flew to the States, we did a medical clinic, and she asked if she could talk to me. And we went off to the side, and we're chatting for about an hour. And she asked me, why do you guys do this? All of my life, all I've ever known is rejection from people, from friends, from family. Why? How come when I make bad choices, you guys still come back? How come you guys follow through every time? And I got to share the gospel with Maria Angelina. It was amazing. All of the hard work, all of the scary leaps of faith, worth it, 100%, because she got to hear. And we've reached people we didn't even think we were going to reach. There's this little girl. She's 9 years old. Her mom sells juice on the street. And she comes by every day to check to see if we're there, because sometimes we have cake. And she comes in every time we're there. And she sits down and talks to us and gives us a ton of hugs. and we got to share the gospel with her. She's 9 years old. It is amazing what God is doing in this ministry. I'm floored every single time about how clear God has been about what steps we are supposed to be taking. There hasn't been doubt. It's been like, well, obviously, this is what we're supposed to do. It's just really scary sometimes. Last week, Brandy was talking about Romans, and I was laughing because my personal devos are also taking me through Romans. Completely didn't even know. And the verse you read last week, the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. In Spanish, that verse says, when there was an abundance of sin, there was an overabundance of grace. And it is something that's really been on my heart recently. Because every single day in Oaxaca, I am faced with this huge abundance of what sin looks like. I see poverty, children hungry. I see pain. I see women being used as objects, children being used as objects. And it's heartbreaking. And yet, every single day, there is an overabundance of grace because there's this stark contrast of what sin looks like and then what grace looks like, which is why direction has always been clear. That's why when Will asked me, are you feeling burnt out in any way? The answer is no. Yes, I'm exhausted. Yes, my hair is going gray, but I'm not feeling burnt out because it's been so clear, this grace in my life. My job as a teacher is to point people towards Christ. Reading books, doesn't matter what book it is. We always go back to, is this based in truth? My job as a youth leader is to point youth kids and missionary kids back to Christ, whether that's by taking big leaps of faith myself or encouraging them to do so and supporting them in that, pointing them back to Christ. And that's why working in Women's Project is pointing people back towards that grace. The name of the Women's Project is called Girasol. It means sunflower, but the literal translation means spinning towards the sun. And we chose that name because it felt, when we keep getting asked, why do you do what you do? How come you show up every week? And the answer is because we want to point them and everyone around us back to the sun, back to that grace. You guys as a church, as my family, you have been a clear sign of grace in my life. Just the encouragement and the support that you guys give, that's grace in my life, keeping me going. I am very thankful for your willing hearts to participate actively in these ministries in Oaxaca, to love the people in Oaxaca. And like I said, I couldn't keep it to myself because it's amazing what God's doing. I am thankful to be a part of that insane roller coaster that is mission life in Oaxaca. But I'm glad that you guys get to come along for the ride with me. And I hope that in this next year, as we grow and change, that you guys will also be growing and changing with us and seeing that grace in your lives and seeing how it's poured out on the people of Oaxaca. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for my sister, Ruth. I pray for supernatural strength and peace in the midst of chaos and turmoil. I pray for your light, your grace, your joy in the midst of darkness and evil and hurt. Lord, strengthen her. Bring a fellowship of brothers and sisters around her to pray, around her financially, around her to talk to bear these burdens together. Let us be a family, and thank you. Bless her travels. Bless all the women, the missionaries, and the kids who pay a big price for their parents to be translating for all those languages that the villages need to hear your gospel, your good truth, and your word. And these kids, these teenagers at a hard time, they They don't have a home and a people. And so make them a people and bless them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Hey, you know, it's like, it's almost like she had some good news to tell us. Like, I don't know, you might, right? Yeah, it might be some good news. I think I read about that in the Bible, and it's changed into some kind of story. Hey, let me come on the backside of that. Ruth and I had met, talked about what she was sharing, and being in Romans, and that the scripture had touched her so much. And thank you, Randy and Wade, guys, in my absence, for preaching. Man, I was not going to come back because I thought you guys had it covered. So, but yeah, they told me they wanted me to come back. Well, let me share something with you kind of on the back end of this. And it's something, you know, when you get away from the regular, you get away from the normal and you get different perspective. Has that ever happened to you? No? Okay. Try like no. Let's go sideways, everyone. No. Let's get the, okay, up and down is yes. Let's try that. Okay. Do you ever, when you get away, get a new perspective, like a new light on something that's going on? Yeah or no? Yeah? Okay. So being away, seeing that, God speaking a lot of things to my heart as a person, as your pastor, as someone who loves you, excited to hear what's going on in Oaxaca, and being there makes the fact that I'd been there had been even sweeter, you know, seeing some of those pictures. I almost wanted to scream, "Welcome to Oaxaca," right, as the trucks are driving around. Is that the gas or the water that has that recording? It's the gas truck, right? And like in the morning, we're there, and all of a sudden you hear this recording like on a loudspeaker, "Welcome to Oaxaca," and it's driving down the street. And that's what, it's like a rooster to wake you up in the morning. It's time to get some gas. So, you know, first of all, let me just share a little bit. So we've been going through Romans. We're continuing on. But I love what's happening here that Ruth is visiting with us and that this week she can share. Because you see something so simplistic. As a believer, I look at missions and you look at it and you're like, wow, what these people are doing. It seems so simple. I mean, what kind of things are you normally doing with these women when they come in? Eating. I could do that. Chatting. Painting fingernails, right? I've done that. Not very good. I've done that. Right? Cake. Eating cake. All these things. It seems so simple. And then we come here and we think, simple for the rest of the world. But here, we've got to make it so complex. So complicated. And so I sit in this question continually. We've been going through Romans, and the questions are kind of like this. Okay, if we go back to the revelation that God gave Paul for Gentile believers to become a church and to follow God, and instead of saying become a Jew and do it the Jew way, no, we're doing it a new way, right? Jews, Gentiles alike, one family through Christ. And so he's talking about that, and we've gotten so complex in our thinking that we think what's working in Oaxaca wouldn't work in Prescott Valley. Because when we get together, we want to talk about really complex things, right? Like, what's the end of the world going to be like, Will? What about prophecy? What about the Holy Spirit? What does he do and not do? You know, what kind of missions do you give to, right? Let's get into theology and doctrine, and there's a place for all of this. But we get so complex in our thinking that we lose all light and joy. And we don't have any good stories to tell. And we need a missionary in some other country doing these simple things to give you a story that really reflects good news. So Romans 5, he said this, Paul said, Romans 5, 18, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Interesting, Randy, right? You look at that, you know, went through that, and what we understand is this question is, Lord, what are we missing and what are we supposed to be doing? Well, the reason we got in this whole mess, what Paul is saying is that this one trespass by one man started it all. You know? And then because of that, then the after effect is trespass after trespass after trespass to the trespasses I commit myself. But then that one act of righteousness. So in all the Bible talk, it really says Jesus is the only way to make it right. It's that one man and the one thing that he did that invites us into life. And then in Romans 6, he said, verse 4, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in a newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united in him in a resurrection like his. We too might walk in a newness of life. Do you? Do you? Do I walk in a newness of life? It's a good question worth wrestling with, right? Picture this, man. I was honestly like on a beach looking at the waves breaking. And that's my favorite place on earth. If you don't know that about me, the beach is like, that's like zero to full in a minute when I'm at the beach. But there, man, I think I was so burdened with this and I was so emptied out in that moment. It like took a week to even get back to zero. And I see that, and this is the stuff that God is talking to me about. And so I come back to share with you this. Guys, we've got to have some kind of light and joy. We've been invited because of this one man, Jesus, our Savior, into a newness of life. Well, you're making it too simple. Well, it's crazy simple. Like, there's complexity to it. And you can have a passion about complex things. That's okay, but we can't lose the simplicity of this. Verse 6 goes on to say, and we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. What about that? Are you walking? Am I walking like we're free? Free men and women. I don't know. I mean, I want to bring this to you. I'm not giving stickers for the right answer. So yes, Will, I'm totally walking, man. I'm totally free, totally full of life. You know, just loving it, not burdened. That's great if that's true. I'm not giving out a sticker for that today. But if that's you, that's great. But what I needed to share with you in light of what Ruth is saying is, what's different about you guys, Ruth? How come when I come in here, you're just like hanging out, you got cake, you smile, everyone else looks at me like I'm trash because of what I have to do to make ends meet. And I obviously got here because my family wasn't in the best situation. What is it about you that seems to be better and seems to be different? And I'm burdened, like heavy burdened and heavy laden, right? Use church words. With the fact that most of us aren't presenting that to the world around us. There's so many things to do. So many complexities. And I want to share this with you too. John 13. So what's happening here in John, right? Jesus is, he's going to go to the cross. I mean, this is some of the last things he's going to say to those guys who follow him, who've been walking with him. And he's like, listen, guys, I know there's these rules, these commandments, everything that you've gotten from Moses, everything that you've gotten from the law that's branched off of Moses, all that information, rules, rituals, and things that you got from your heritage. But let me tell you, a new commandment I give to you. That you love one another just as I've loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You guys have heard that one, right? Yeah. It almost seems like it's lost its luster, but it doesn't get more simple and more complex than that. So Ruth, you bringing a report back is like music to my heart because I see that. I see, how will anyone know that I belong to Jesus? How will anyone know that you belong to Jesus? Like, it's your love. I mean, I could have all the gifts in the world. There could be miraculous powers around me. I could have so much knowledge. I could just awe and wonder the people around me. I could be right. See, Reggie, because we get confused, man. When it's all said and done, the scripture says the best you could get is well done, good and faithful servant. Not, guess what? You were right, Reggie. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Right? Will, you were wrong. You're not in. It's not wrong and right. Everything went wrong on the sin of one man. Everything was made right by the actions of one man, a Savior. And because of that, you and I have life and we have freedom. And what we need to start doing is simply loving each other in such a way. Because what can I bring to you guys? More information? They're smarter pastors than me, all online. You guys listened to some of them this morning, I'm sure, or after this, because you're going to want to undo all this craziness that I'm talking to you. There's pastors with bigger biceps if you want that. There's a bigger rock band. There's sweeter buildings. If you want all that, there's more programs. What in the world are we doing here, Wade, if we're not loving one another? Who cares if we're right, if we're not loving? Who cares if the lights flicker and the seats sail? If we don't have love, we're just making noise. And so when we get a report back from believers in other places, it's like that vacation. You got to step back a second and say, wow, we've made this so complicated, Corey. And we're arguing with each other about theology and doctrine when the goal is you don't get it right. You're not right. You're just not. I don't care how smart you are. Right? And so we need that refreshing view from the brothers and sisters in other parts of the world who are like, dude, you want to see life change, love somebody. You know, Ruth, we were talking about that. How can you go to somebody and change their whole way of thinking? Everything that happened to them in their past, their whole perspective, undo all their paradigms and give them new ones. You can't. You can't. That is the work of the Lord, the one man who can undo all the wrong that was done. And like that John 13, this is beautiful because in Matthew 22, I mean, enemies of Jesus were trying to trap him. And they said, but when the Pharisees heard that he'd silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, right? They're gathering together. They want to trap Jesus. They want to get him. These are the smart guys. These are the wise ones in culture. And one of them said, a lawyer, so a real smart guy, right? Okay, ask him a question to test him. So the guy goes up to him. He's like, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law of the prophets. What did you do on vacation? Well, I got my mind blown, Corey, because I think we're making this so complex, talking with Ruth, sitting here. All the things you could do, Wade, all the things, man. What would be the most important, right? Yeah, love. You mean you could, like, paint nails and glorify God and eat cake? Glorify God? So the next verse in Romans that on our journey here is Romans 6:11. It says, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Well, what's that have to do with all this? Well, if you don't believe what I'm telling you here, if you don't believe it, it's about love. If you don't believe that we've made it overcomplicated, if you don't believe it's that simple, then you're going to believe any other lie. You must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Do you have a life in Jesus? Are you free? Are you alive? Or do you have to run back to sin and other things to get you there? One more scripture for you here. 2 Corinthians 11. Who wrote 2 Corinthians? Paul, right? Who did he write it to? The Corinthians. Well, yeah, that's right in the name. That's good. That's good. So who are these Corinthian people? In Corinth, okay, that's good. We're still going. What were they like? We're getting some good answers here. Okay. What were these people? Were these a gathering of people? And what were they up to? They were like into Pilates or something, or what? They're being really spiritual. They're really into that. So in Corinth, right, it's a group of believers to the church at Corinth. Like us, we're kind of sitting here saying, in a world that tells us not to live this way, how in the world are we supposed to live? God, and these letters as a spiritual father and one who'd seen revelation was given to them. And he says this, but verse 3, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Yeah. Simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. This is what I want to give to you today to chew on. In response to what you've heard about what God's up to in Oaxaca, what you've heard from my heart here in a brief few minutes, I would present to you that Paul could have wrote the same thing to the church at Prescott Valley. Guys, I'm afraid. I'm afraid, just as the devil's always tricked us with craftiness and intelligence, that you're getting led astray from the main thing, the most important thing, by all this intellectual speech, all the complexities, all the cool things. Hey, don't misunderstand me. Should you study the Bible? If you have a passion about something academic, is that evil? No. But if you lose track of the main thing to chase that, that's not helpful. It's not hurtful. And if you think it doesn't exist, be the pastor here for a week and see all the things every one of you guys are hung up on, including me, right? And cool, chase those to death, man. Like, chase them. If you want to just argue about old earth or new earth, do it. Do it till you're blue in the face, but you better be loving. And I don't need it here on Sunday morning. That's not why we're here. Make sense? Like, you want to talk about what's going to happen when the world ends? Sure, have your opinion. You want to talk about this. You want to argue this theology versus this theology. That's fine, but you understand, I'm afraid you guys are so caught up in those things, you don't love each other. You don't even have a good story. We're waiting for someone to come from Mexico to talk about painting someone who's a prostitute's fingernails, and then they begin to understand there's a God. Because you and I can't even go down the street because we're just arguing with one another about what denomination or religion or creation account or Bible version to use because this is the only holy one. You're full of garbage, guys. Stop. Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not. Like, I don't want to lose the simplicity and purity of to Christ. What I want to do is tell you, be devoted to Christ. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite the worship team back up. And I'm going to ask this, that you would simply ask the Holy Spirit to sort of turn the lens on you. And maybe in the complexity of all that's been given to you and offered to you, you've lost the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. And if that's you, if he's telling you, then we do this church word called repent. We're like, man, I'm sorry, God. I want to turn from that. Help me to be more loving, to offer this grace that Ruth is talking about, to love my neighbor, to actually be a part of the good news that's happening, not part of the division of intellectual arguments. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for what's going on in Oaxaca. I thank you for my sister down there, her courage just to take off and her willingness to sacrifice, and her dad and her mom. I know the life's mission that they've had down there. Lord, but I thank you for the lessons from Oaxaca that she's brought here. She's given us a lot of really good news. You have blessed people who believe and follow you. And you have used those people to love in a pure and simple way, to do what you ask us to do, to love God and to love their neighbor as they love themselves. And Lord, might we make that an example? Could it be a conviction, if you will, to us about how complex we try to make it? How distracted we get. And we get so distracted, God. I know we lose the joy. We lose the peace. We lose the excitement of what it is to live with you. So, Holy Spirit, would you search us and know us? And reveal to us where we've gotten so distracted. Where we've lost our first love. Where we've lost our joy, where we've lost our fire, where we've lost our laughter, where we've lost our smiles. Return those to us, Lord. Help us pursue the greater things, which are love. And might that always be primary. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your patience and your love and your grace and your mercy, which pour down on us. We need it. We need you. Amen.